Welcome to St. James Bible Bites. This podcast was recorded live at our Sunday morning service, and the full recording can be found on our Facebook page. The readings are taken from Luke 9, verses 10 to 17, and Acts 2, beginning at verse 42. Today we continue our sermon series on Pentecost, and the talk is entitled The Generous Presence of God by Mike Gillingham, a lay reader at this church.
So the first reading is from Luke chapter 9, verses 10 to 17. At the beginning of chapter 9, Jesus sends out the 12 disciples to proclaim the kingdom of God and heal the sick and take nothing with them. And we are starting from verse 10. Jesus feeds the 5,000. When the apostles returned, they reported to Jesus what they had done. Then he took them with him, and they withdrew by themselves to a town called Bethsaida. But the crowds learned about it and followed him. He welcomed them and spoke to them about the kingdom of God and healed those who needed healing. Late in the afternoon, the 12 came to him and said, "Send the crowd away so they can go to the surrounding villages and countryside and find food and lodging, because we are in a remote place." And he replied, "You give them something to eat." They answered, "We have only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, unless we go and buy food for all this crowd." About 5,000 men were there. But he said to his disciples, "Make them sit down in groups of about 50 each." The disciples did so, and everyone sat down. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke them. Then he gave them to the disciples to set before the people. They all ate and were satisfied, and the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. This is the word of the Lord.
Our epistle reading is taken from the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 2, and beginning to read at verse 42. And I'm reading from the Good News Bible. Life in the early church. They spent their time in learning from the apostles, taking part in the fellowship and sharing in the fellowship meals and the prayers. Many miracles and wonders were done through the apostles, and everyone was filled with awe. All the believers continued together in close fellowship and shared their belongings with one another. They would sell their property and possessions and distribute the money among all according to what each one needed. Day after day, they met as a group in the temple, and they had their meals together in their homes, eating and with glad and humble hearts, praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And every day the Lord added to their growing number who were being saved. This is the word of the Lord.
Like Shakespeare, who is regarded as one of our greatest playwriters, Charles Dickens is regarded as one of our greatest novelists. But whereas Shakespeare is littered with quotations, to be or not to be, once more into the breach, dear friends, and I'm sure that all of you could think of a half a dozen more, there are not that many from Dickens. But I think you might be able to help me with one. If we think of Oliver Twist, please finish this one together with me. "Please, sir, I want some more." And one of the things about Dickens was that he was very keen on campaigning for the poor, very concerned about them. And he portrayed those terrible workhouses, and they were terrible. My sister, as a family historian, and she asked me to look up some things about the Taunton Workhouse. And some of my fairly distant relatives were in there last century, no, century before. I'm getting old, you see, and I lose track. And this poor couple went there. They managed to leave for a little bit, but then went back. And of course, when they went back to the workhouse, not only were they really hungry, but they were separated. These were an older married couple. And when they went in there, they couldn't even be together. It was awful, a mean, nasty place designed that people would avoid it. What a contrast with today. This is the traditional site of that feeding. You can see the loaves and the fish. Just as an aside, this church was attacked by a group of militant Israelis who called themselves the Price Tag Group. And whenever somebody in America does something that displeases them, they do something like attack this church. But we come now to that feeding of the 5,000. And I think it's something like an acted parable. A parable is a story to teach people things. I think this is a story to teach people things. It was probably on a place like this, beside the Sea of Galilee, or perhaps a little inland. Probably not so many flowers. They're not that common. And the people have been there for a long time, and they're all hungry. And so the disciples say to Jesus, hey, come on, this service is a bit long. Have you ever heard that? I know. But Jesus says to them, not, I will feed you. What he says is, you feed them. Now, what would you think? Well, you know what the direction of the disciples is. Hey, I can't do this. I haven't got this amount of money to buy the food. We haven't got the stuff with us. What can we do? But Jesus asked them to feed the crowd. And they do it. Of course, they couldn't have done it without Jesus. But God uses his disciples to feed the people and to give them not just what they needed, but there were baskets of food left over at the end. There was an enormous amount of generosity. God asks his people to feed his disciples, to feed the people. And so generous is he that there's a lot left over. We live in a beautiful world. I could easily get sidetracked here and talk to you for hours about the wonders of creation. So please forgive me if I just limit myself a little. It's beautiful. And in the beginning, God, we hear of the Garden of Eden, where people were asked to tend the garden. When God gave people power over the creation, he did it so that we could share in his generosity, giving things. And as a biologist, I find it amazing that these flowers that are designed to appeal to insects so they get pollinated are beautiful to us. Need not have been that way. They could like totally different things, and sometimes they do. People talk about the lovely scent of flowers. I've got one flower that's out now, and it smells like a cat's been there. But some of the insects like it. And God is so generous that he even involves us in creating people. Martin Luther apparently said if God had asked his advice, he would have continued to make people in the original way from the dust of the earth. But God involves us in creating people. He's generous and allows us to be generous. He involves us in gardens, creating people, and in art, creating beauty. Just look here, something beautiful designed to speak to us. When God is generous, he acts through us to be generous. This prayer is attributed to Saint Teresa of Avila. Christ has no body but yours, no hands, no feet on earth but yours. Yours are the eyes with which he looks compassion on this world. Yours are the feet with which he walks to do good. Yours are the hands with which he blesses all the world. Yours are the hands, yours are the feet. Yours are the eyes, You are his body. Christ has no body now but yours. No hands, no feet on earth but yours. Yours are the eyes with which he looks compassion on this world. Christ has no body now on earth but yours. And it's through you and me that God will be generous to this world. That story must have reminded people, and I'm sure it was meant to, of the manna in the desert where God fed his people. So Jesus feeds his people. Everybody had enough then. No one had to ask for more. And when Jesus gives, he gives not just bread, but fish as well. When we were there, we got fish and chips, but, you know, it's the same principle. Not just what you need, but enough to make it good. Something tasty. People could have made do with just the bread, but God gives more. And so we come to the apostles, as Fabian was saying earlier. I'm sure that if the apostles had sat down and said, look, we're going to give you another 100 disciples tomorrow, they'd have said, oh, wonderful. But it wasn't 100. It wasn't 200. It was 3,000. Wow. The generosity of God. And we need to remember that one of God's gifts is the people around you. You are God's gift to me, and I am a little gift to you as well. Each of you is a gift to each other. We are meant to be together. And that new church was devoted to the apostles' teaching. We've had a reminder about the apostles' teaching through the Bible. They were devoted to prayer. Devoted is a very strong word, isn't it? It's not they went along and prayed sometimes. They were devoted to prayer. They were devoted to meeting each other. This is important. It's so sad when people drop out of meeting each other. It's meant to be one of the highlights of the week that we can meet together here or in homes and house groups and whatever. They were devoted to meeting each other's needs. They used the generosity of God to be generous. Church is important. And in the Greek, it's a verb, not a noun. We don't come to church, we church. The synagogue is coming together. It's we come together. That's the church. We have a nice little building to meet in. Although sometimes I'm sure if you ask the wardens, they would wish it was a little simpler. But there we go. But the important thing here is you and me. So to sum up, we need to be involved in creation. We've got many examples of it here today, and there will be many more. We need to be involved in creation just because God is involved in creation. We need to be generous to others. That's what the early church was like. That's what many churches throughout the world are like. I remember reading about Wallace, the great explorer, similar mind to Charles Darwin. He was very impressed by the church in Borneo. He said that when somebody went to the priest, he would divide everything in half. He would give them half what he had. So if they were hungry, if they needed clothes, he would give them half what he had. And he said, no wonder the church there is growing. And it's grown. We need to be generous to others, like our God. As God is generous to us in giving his Spirit and giving us so many good things, we need to be generous. And we need to value each other. If we look around, we must think, oh, how lovely, how wonderful, what a good gift God has given. We need to value each other like our God. And remember that God valued you and I so much that he sent his Son die on a cross. That's how much he valued us. And we must value each other in the same way. It's appropriate that we're moving on into Holy Communion shortly. And we need to pray that the Lord will add to the number of those being saved. I once heard a talk from a very learned Bible teacher who was principal of a theological college. And he just talked very simply about the three senses of save. We have been saved. God died on the cross so that we could be saved. But it doesn't stop there. God is saving us. those people who met together and were generous to each other were being changed by God. You and I are meant to be changed by God. And one day, we will be saved. And all the things we know are not nice about us, all the things that we lack, all the things that are wrong, all the things that are wrong around us will be gone. And we will be saved. Let's pray. Our generous God, we are filled with thanks to you for your generosity. Lord, we pray that you would so change us, save us, that we too might be generous to those we meet. Amen.
For more Bible Bite podcasts, simply visit our website www.stjamestaunton.co.uk and click on resources. Thank you for listening, and may God be with you today.